Welcome to the January 12th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24, and the sermon is entitled, Saving His Enemies, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
We're going to pick up a sermon series through the book of Colossians for those of you who are with us for the first time. I have been going through a series, we call it the GE Power Company series, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. We're in the last of that four series of books. Today we're in Colossians chapter 1, and we're picking up our series after the season that we've been through. But as we turn to Colossians chapter 1, as I get on the runway, let me give you some essentials about this letter that Paul writes so we're all on the same page and the same track as we get started. Paul is in prison. He is in Rome. He's arrested for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And although he is under house arrest, and although he is free to have visitors, he is quarantined from his mission world. Paul was the traveler. Paul was the pioneer missionary who loved to introduce the masses to Jesus Christ. Perhaps hearing that name for the very first time, it was quite possible in his confinement that he was chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. And in this confinement, I know that Paul's heart yearned to be back on the mission field, back preaching, back traveling, going to city after city and community after community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He may feel that his time on earth is very limited. He was under a death penalty for being a preacher of the gospel of the living Lord. And at any moment, a guard could come in to retrieve him, to take him to his own execution. He was under that kind of duress, under that emotional and physical persecution of awaiting any moment to die. And yet, he says, I am not wasting time here. Jesus died on the cross for me. However he chooses for me to suffer for him, I will do so. And we'll do it because I love him. And the way that he gave me life through the cross and through the empty tomb, I will gratefully suffer for him. But in this confinement, he writes letters to different individuals and to different churches. And one church to which he writes is the church at Colossae. He's learned that this is a church that's in trouble. They are in trouble because false teachers had moved into the church and were confusing these young baby Christians. It seemed that it happened quite often in these first century churches. It still happens in our church today, that false teaching gets a grip within a church and a church is misled and led off track in the true gospel and word of Jesus. It was happening in this day in the church in Colossae. These so-called teachers were leading these church members to believe that they could have minds that would override and be superior to the mind of God. These teachers were teaching these baby Christians that they could have a superior wisdom in and of themselves. So the Colossian church was greatly challenged, and its greatest temptation was that they were being led away from the complete lordship of Jesus Christ. They were being led away from total submission to His Word, to His teaching, to following in His footsteps and following in His ministry that He laid before them in Colossae. Friends, whenever we're led away from Christ as the church, whenever we're led away from His Word as the church will be in trouble. We cannot exist apart from Christ. We cannot exist apart from His Word. We can't walk according to our own wisdom. We walk according to Him and to His wisdom, to His Word, to His leadership. So Paul begins this letter by taking the church at Colossae back to the bare basics of what we believe is the church. In the last sermon that I preached in Colossians chapter 1, we studied the ground floor level of who Jesus is. Now today, we're going to study by Paul's instruction and God's inspiring these words through him, we're going to study who we are in the eyes of God. We looked at who Jesus is. Today, we're going to look at who we are to God. So in that framework, let's look at Colossians chapter 1, go to verse 21. 21 through 24 is what we'll study today. A relatively short passage, but boy, is it packed full of truth. Colossians chapter 1, go to verse 21. Paul writes this, and you. So he's talking now to the church at Colossae as he writes this letter to them. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Those few short verses give us plenty to study and think about today and guidance from the Holy Spirit as to how to be the church of the living Lord. Look back at the very first part of verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Now, Paul says, before we came to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, this is true 2,000 years ago, it is also true today. Before you and I came to Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we were alienated from God. Paul says we were strangers to God. Other versions say we were far away from God. We were estranged from God. What makes us strangers to our holy God? One word. Sin. Separates us from the holiness of God. Sin is the roadblock so that we cannot come to our holy God because of that roadblock of sin between us and Him. Now, it's not that God does not know us. Oh, God knows you and me very, very well. He knows every cell of your and my body. He knows every hurt in your heart. He knows every joy that you carry. According to Psalm 139, verse 4, it says that He knows every word coming out of your mind and your heart, even before it gets to your mouth. He knows us that well. God knows you and me through and through. It's not that God doesn't know us. But what Paul is saying here, here's the truth, that when we're out there living in rebellion and sin and wickedness, we don't know Him. It's not that He doesn't know us. It's we don't know Him. As sinners, we give no thought to His holiness. We give no thought to His authority. We are too absorbed in our own will to think about His will for us. We're living our own lives away from Him, separated from Him. We don't know Him. And the Bible says that in that state of sin and in that state of self-absorption and selfishness, we're actually the enemies of God. When we're living in separation from Him, in wickedness from Him, we are enemies of God, according to this inspired word through Paul. As Paul describes lost people in this condition, he actually says, we're at war with God when we rebel against Him and don't know Him and reject Him. We're at war against Him. You know, the lost people of the world would love to rid the world of God. Rather than abide by His will, let's rule ourselves. Let's be our own ruler. That's some of what this teaching was in the Colossian church. You can rule yourself because you can be so wise. Paul is striking out against that. We always must be submissive to His will, but in our lost state, we are centered more on our own will and we're enemies toward God. You know, there was a well-known pseudo-philosopher, theologian in the 1800s. His name was Friedrich Nietzsche. And Friedrich Nietzsche, in his writings, coined a phrase, three words, God is dead. I turn that around and say, now God is saying, no, Nietzsche is dead. But that was his writing, God is dead. Well, in the 1960s, there was a movement in America, the God is dead movement. Our culture is still at war with our God. Our culture here still wants to keep God out of the classroom, wants to keep His word out of the courtroom, wants to keep God out of our lives, out of our leadership. Our culture is sinking more and more into that godlessness. How sad that is. But listen, usually in a war where we're enemies with God, as Paul says here, and when we're at war with God, in a common war, We know that the way that you win a war is that you kill one another. And whoever kills the most will win the war. But the war with God is very different. Being enemies of God is very different. In that it is true that there are people there in their lost condition who want to rid the world of God and basically kill God and get rid of Him out of our culture. But when lost people try to kill God, He comes and goes to a cross to forgive us. How amazing that is! When lost people want to get rid of Him, He comes for us and goes to a cross to die on our behalf, that we might be forgiven. And so God wins the war. God reclaims us not as enemies, but as His children through the cross, through love, through sacrifice. You know, God, at any moment, 2,000 years ago, or this very moment, could snuff out the world and the universe with one word of His mouth, just as He created us. But instead of wiping us out with one word, He comes to save us through one cross. How amazing that is. Now let me remind you of this. The Colossian church was dealing with false teaching. The teachers were called Gnostics. G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S. Gnostics. And at the root of Gnosticism is this thought. All matter, including our human bodies, all matter is evil. And so that means as we consider the life of Jesus Christ, He could not have taken on flesh because flesh is evil. God would never clothe Himself in evil. And so God came to us not as the Son of God in flesh, but rather as a spirit. Jesus, a spirit being, He's not human. Paul attacks that bad teaching. Look at the end of verse 21, and we'll go on to 22. Colossians 1, the end of verse 21. Yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Now that statement slides off my tongue so easily. That Jesus came in the flesh to save us, to give us life, to forgive us. In the body of His flesh He went to the cross. Well, that sounds so simple, and we have largely grown up with that, and we learn that, and we spell that out in the church every time that we meet. In the body of His flesh, He came to save us. It's common phrasing to us, but in Paul's letter, believe me, he is swinging a sword at the Gnostics when he says, in the body of His flesh, He came to save us. Paul was storming the gates of this Gnostic false teaching that was taking place in the church. Jesus was a spirit? No! The Son of God took on flesh, laid aside His glory, laid aside His authority in heaven, and took on flesh to be among us, to walk among us, and as the perfect Lamb of God to die on our behalf. He became one of us so He could save all of us. He died on that cross to forgive you, to forgive me. You see, the cross would have been ineffective and powerless if Jesus were not human. He died in our place as a human being, as we are human. He gave Himself to the cross. Friends, that's theology 101. And you truly, as the church, need to understand that. That the Son of God came as one of us to die for us. And Paul says in verse 22, when Jesus died on the cross, it gave you and me the one and the only opportunity to be holy, unblameable, and unreprovable before God Almighty. Now, to be holy means that you are set apart to belong to God. In His holiness, you and I are set apart as saved to belong to Him. To be unblameable means that when you and I, as a born-again believer, stand before our God, we will not carry with us all the scars that we collected from sin over our lives. We're unblameable before Him. Unreprovable. Some other versions say that we're faultless. It means as we stand before our holy God, He will not bring up the record of our sin because it has been forgiven. Absolutely, eternally forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, our sin has been taken from us. When Jesus forgives us through the cross, we are healed, we are cleansed, we are forever forgiven. That's what God did for his enemies. God's gift, God's offer of forgiveness is so amazing. Friends, it's beyond my words to be able to explain it. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit is filling in my blanks right now so that you come to that full understanding and recognition of what Jesus did for you and me. He came to save his enemies, not to kill us, to save us by way of the cross. As Paul writes this letter to the church at Colossae, he says, my brothers and sisters, my believers there, do not move away from that truth. Do not move away from what I just told you. Look at verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now, let me give you a little historical setting here. Colossae was known as an area of earthquakes. And in fact, a great devastating earthquake came through Colossae in AD 60. Most likely, this letter was written after that earthquake, when still much of Colossae may have laid in ruins. And so the image of an earthquake was absolutely on the minds of every Colossian believer and everyone who lived in that area because of this devastating earthquake that had come through. Well, of course, when an earthquake happens, it brings great damage to the foundation of buildings. A building sometimes can fall simply because its foundation is ruined. Paul tells the church, Jesus dying on the cross to extend to you and to me forgiveness is the foundation we stand on. And Paul says, keep your faith, church, in the living Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took on flesh and came for us. You stay firmly settled and grounded in that truth. Do not move away from Him. Do not forget the cross. Do not forget His humanity. Don't compromise His lordship. Don't stray off on some other thought of following anything or anyone else. Stay centered on the lordship of Jesus Christ. Stay centered on His Word. Do not move from that truth. Other versions say, do not be shaken. Do not shift away. Do not be dislodged from this truth. And in these words, Paul is alluding to an earthquake. He's saying, don't you let any false teacher shake your foundation of truth about who Jesus is. Stay true to this Savior who went to the cross for you. Jesus Christ, God Himself, died on the cross to forgive us. And every person needs Him, a Savior. It's not based on our goodness. It's not based on our wisdom. It's not based on how we figure out salvation on our own. But rather we know it's based on His gift of life to us. And that eternal truth is at the heart of our message. It was at the heart of Colossians in that day 2,000 years ago. It's at the heart of our ministry today. Not one iota has changed in this truth. You know, I believe Paul was so humbled by this message that he wrote, that God could save his enemies. And the reason I believe that Paul was so humbled by that is because Paul saw himself as perhaps the greatest enemy that Jesus ever had. You remember, Paul lived in that day and in that age. It was very likely that he saw the crucifixion. And as a Jew who was totally against the ministry of Jesus, he approved of it. Maybe cheered for it. He detested Jesus' ministry. He supported his death sentence on the cross. And after Jesus died on the cross and resurrected from the grave, Paul went on to persecute the church and kill Christians and send them to prison and disband families and livelihoods because he hated Jesus and his church so much. And here in Colossians, Paul says, Jesus was afflicted and beaten and ridiculed and killed for me. Perhaps the greatest enemy Jesus ever had. And he died on the cross for me. Jesus went through that hell of punishment to save the greatest enemy he ever had. If Jesus did all that to save me, Paul says, an avowed enemy, then I rejoice to suffer for him now, however he chooses. I will pick up the baton where he laid it down that I might suffer. He suffered for me. I will continue to suffer for him. You know, sometimes I think we in the church, myself included, get it all backwards. As Paul said, I'm willing to lay down my life for Christ. If it brings suffering, so be it. I'll take whatever comes my way. I will not compromise my faith and my trust and my walk in Jesus Christ. If it brings suffering, so be it. Still should be true today. But I think so often we in the church get it backward, and I, again, include myself in this. We often think, what will I get out of church? What gives me the stamina to get up a little earlier on Sunday morning and get to Sunday school and church? You know, I want good preaching, and I want good teaching, and I want a soft pew, and I want the building to be warm in the winter and cool in the summer. I want a good variety of ministries that I can choose from. So what will the church offer me? How will the church keep me coming? What will the church do to keep me there week by week? But I believe the heart of the gospel says that that's all backwards. Our thought should be, what can I sacrificially give to my Lord and to His church that the gospel will go around the world? What can I give? Not what will I get, but what can I give? And I think so often, especially in the American church, that the church has gotten to the point it just wants to stroke egos and make everybody happy and comfortable, so they'll keep coming. But that's not the essence of the gospel. The essence of the gospel is, what can we give, even if it brings suffering, to the Savior who went to the cross for us? I believe at the heart of the gospel and the heart of God is looking for the believer who will ask, God, what can I give that your ministry will go on? How can I share my talents? How can I share my strength? How can I share my resources that your ministry goes on? How can I give my talent? Where do you want me to sacrifice? You know, I often think sacrifice. We're far removed from that word. But I want you to think in terms of maybe sometimes small sacrifice. If you look behind us down the hill, you will find a far parking lot. And I didn't look this morning, but if tradition holds, that parking lot is not full. In fact, it's probably less than half full. Here's my challenge to those of you who are young and healthy and have good legs and strong bodies. Park down there so that that family with children or that senior adult who needs to be close to this building can walk in easily. Give them your space. That's a tiny little sacrifice, but it can mean the world to a senior adult to have a parking place close to the church. It's a little sacrifice, but the parking lot sits half empty. Maybe next week you'll park down there. Only if you can walk the hill. I don't want any heart attacks coming up that hill. According to Paul, our mentality needs to shift from what will the church give me to what can I give the church? Am I honoring the Savior with what I give Him? As Pastor Clyde mentioned a moment ago, this coming week, family is going to say farewell and God bless you to Wayne Maddox, a man who went through a battle with cancer, weakness, wheelchairs. But last week, he was in church. I shook hands with him going through the door. He gave Gwen a piece of candy. He didn't give me a piece of candy, but he gave Gwen a piece of candy. But I think, who can stay home with a sniffle when you see Wayne Maddox? And today he's with Jesus. But last Sunday he was here. I think that was a sacrificial attitude, don't you? The little sacrifices of life mean so much in the kingdom of God. Don't forget that. You know, when I ask you the question, am I honoring God with my life? The only person I can answer for is me. So I'll leave that question with you. Am I honoring God with my life? Once an enemy, now forgiven, now saved, now heaven bound, what can I give to the one who went to the cross for me? Maybe today is a moment of rededication for you, that you will say, Lord, I'm going to begin looking more deeply for the little sacrifices to give my life to you. However you see fit, I will walk the walk. I will follow you. And before I close this sermon, at this moment, whether you're sitting here in this sanctuary or whether you're listening to this sermon on radio or on a podcast somewhere down the line, if you need Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, if you've never come to a relationship with Him, it's not a religion, friends, it's a relationship. It's side by side, one on one. The one who loves us, walks with us, takes care of us, knows our hurts, knows our sorrows, knows our joys. If you don't have a relationship with Him, He is offering you a free gift. But listen, He paid a great, great price to give you and me a free gift because He went to the cross to redeem us. If you've never received Him, never accepted Him, never put your sin at His feet and asked to be forgiven, today, this moment is your time. And I want to open this floor for an invitation for you to come. Jesus publicly went to a cross for every one of us. He was spat on, crowned with thorns, mostly naked for the public to see. And so He asked us to publicly come and give our life to Him. You come today. Believers, will we rededicate our life to the small sacrifices? Maybe some of us will face some large sacrifices, but will you be looking for the ways that you can say thank you to the Savior? Church, home, whatever you need, He meets us right now. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for these moments. Bless us, Lord, that at one time before we were saved, we were enemies of God. We thank you, Father, that God did not speak a word and wipe out His enemies, but rather He came to die for us on a cross to forgive us. It's a truth, Lord, that's beyond my human ability to even begin to explain, but it is the love of God. Help us, Father, to see the ways that we can return our lives back to you in thanksgiving and sometimes in sacrifice as your children. For the one who needs you, I pray today he or she will come. Church home, whatever the need, bless us in these moments as we bow before you in grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.